I feel like I've earned the right to like trust immediately when like something is said, or when like, or when something needs to be done. Like just knowing that Mikey, knowing who Mikey is, should now dictate how I move, not whatever fear I may hold or whatever was done a long time ago, not like last week or whatever, but like I want trust to be the first thing that you go to before all the other things.
Now check it out. Now look, the apple don't fall far from trees, right? I'm in the land of milk and honey with the bees, like. And if I'm ripping it, what I'm so with my seeds, like. Now check it out.
Been a father since I was a toddler. I would teach you. Hey y'all.
Hey. I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy. And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time.
Yes, welcome all. We are thankful that you tuned in.
Continuing with our theme of plot twists, we are doing this episode on the concept of a second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
In our first segment, we're talking about how the Rethinking Infidelity TED Talk got us talking about a second marriage.
Yep.
Second is our fight or flight, where today I'm confronting Mikey about breaking a promise he made.
I don't break promises, so this is bullshit.
You do. Finally, we'll wrap it up with our PDA segment, where we show each other some love and or thank each other for something in particular.
Yeah, I need some love today, so I'm looking forward to your PDA.
And we hope you enjoy it. And we're back.
All right.
So the backstory is after our the fuck episode 90, about the first five episodes of the Cheat Code,
mm-hmm.
Nolika of Raising Rebels, and also on the Domino Sound Teams Network, she asked us to watch the TED Talk Rethinking Infidelity before we finished the Cheat Code and before we did another like review of it.
So if you're interested, again, the name of that TED Talk is Rethinking Infidelity. Who's it by?
Esther Perel, Rethinking Infidelity, a talk for anyone who has ever loved.
And you can find that on YouTube.
Yeah.
As soon as you type in Rethinking Infidelity.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to take a moment real quick, you could go find that, listen to that, and then come back.
It's about 21 minutes long.
Yeah.
I watched it twice. We watched it once together.
Once was enough for me.
So we watched it together, like I said, and while the information about why people have affairs was interesting, what stuck out to us the most was the other ways that couples betray one another and the statistic that in a person's lifetime, they will have 2 to 3 marriages, sometimes with the same person and sometimes not.
Yeah, the precursors to the cheating stuff was much more interesting, or
right,
was the thing that stuck out most to us. And we had a very detailed talk about that, which led us to talking about the concept of a second marriage. Now, normally when you hear a second marriage, you think marrying somebody else.
Right.
And we, Randy and I, have had a conversation multiple times about this where I'm not getting married again. This is like it.
Yeah.
I'd be living in sin after this if this ended for any reason. If Randy were to pass. If I was to pass, no one's marrying my wife.
Mikey, what? I'm
just saying.
So
she's going to be alone forever, missing me.
We... So, yeah, like Mike said, like she brought up that infidelity wasn't the only way that you could betray one another. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so like you said, I feel like I'm being redundant. I don't even know what I was about to say. But yeah, so we're talking, this made us think less about having a physical sexual affair
mm-hmm.
with other people and more about
literal betrayal. The concept of betrayal came up a couple of times when we were actually discussing the episodes from the Cheat Code.
Mm-hmm.
What's the definition of betrayal, though?
It's a noun, and it is the breaking or violation of a presumptive contract, trust, or confidence that produces moral and psychological conflict within a relationship amongst individuals, between organizations, or between individuals and organizations.
Yeah, so we were talking about like the betrayal of trust, the betrayal of marriage, the sanctity of marriage, things that are along those lines.
Right.
And though we do not exercise betrayal in that way, there are ways that we were able to, Randy was able to like pinpoint like, yeah, this could be a thing.
Yeah.
That I'm considering. So we're going to talk about why we think we should start a second marriage.
Yeah, just go ahead and do it. We have one reason each. And so, Mike, what is your one big reason about why you think we should start a new marriage?
So, again, coming off of the TED Talk and thinking about how this could benefit us, the number one thing that came to me was that we are big on growth.
Yes.
We are not a stagnant couple. We're not stagnant apart from each other. Like, we actually don't believe in just staying in one place. And we're constantly working on building to be better. And if we can pinpoint and identify something that's not working or something that's not serving us to the best of our ability, we adjust. Like mm-hmm. that's our attitude in general. So this concept of re-energizing your marriage, reinventing it, recommitting to it. It kind of reminded me of the concept of why people do like marriage vow renewals.
Yeah.
And so vow renewals, whenever I used to see it growing up, I never actually attended one. I see it, I mean, like
on TV,
movies, uh-huh. TV and stuff. It was a second attempt at that ceremony, right? Like, remember we got married because of this. This is how we felt back then. Now, who we are today, we're still willing to make those same commitments to each other, but you know, the contract is amended. Like there's some things that we need to adjust here, some things we need to refocus on or bring back to the forefront.
And usually vow renewals, from my perspective, when I was growing up, also seeing them on TV or even like celebrities doing it, it's something went wrong. You know, something's wrong. You like, well, somebody really? Says they're getting a vow renewal. At least that's, yeah. And that's definitely something my mom also believes. And that's probably why I believe it. Or like why I'm prone to or used to be. Oh. Like something must have happened. And y'all are trying to. Again? Right. Like we need to do this again.
Every time I saw it, it was one of those like big years. Like, oh, you're married for 10 years. Vow renewal, like, 20 again. Years, something like that.
Yeah, but. I think it's sweet either way. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think it's sweet either way. But I've always what am I trying to say?
Been like weary?
No, I've just always thought that when I will see someone doing a vow renewal, it's because you're trying to remind yourself why you shouldn't break up. You know, or like why.
That's fair.
Why this is worth doing again.
Not more of a celebration.
Right.
Okay.
Not because I'm so happy to have done this with you for 10 years or 20 years.
I think it's a mixed bag. I could say I probably say both. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know.
But that's what like where your mind always goes.
It's like, oh, something wrong.
Like, damn, it was about to break up.
I also understand that's not ever always the case or always ever the case. And people just want to celebrate. And it's something worth celebrating. Those big years, that's mm-hmm. a big ass deal. So
if we didn't have the wedding that we had, I could see us having a vow renewal mm-hmm. type. You know, now that we're in a different space, let's invite some more people out. Let's like celebrate.
Let's spend some money.
Because we've made it to a big milestone year.
But I think for ours, this is not that episode. But I would like something way more intimate than what our wedding was. Our wedding was great.
Really?
But yeah. Like maybe something intimate, but like the party could be big, but the actual That's ceremony fair. Type thing.
I would like a destination ceremony with a
Yeah, maybe somewhere like yeah.
Elsewhere.
Like you gotta get to us. And if you can
then you're gonna get like some fire shit. Which is how our wedding went.
Right.
The people who took the drive, none of them regretted it.
Yeah, it was a good wedding. Okay, so anyway.
So yeah, that's my thing. That was If I was to look at this, like, why would I want to put energy into revamping something? It would be because of the growth aspect of it. I think that our marriage always has room for improvement, mm-hmm. especially coming off of the years that we've come off of. And because we've been around each other more, the fog has lifted a little bit and all of the noise from like work and what we have to do has settled down. And now we're coming into a space of what we need to be doing and what we should be doing and what we can do. It's like, I don't know. I hate. It is what it is. Like, I feel like my marriage has been neglected in certain ways because of what we had to do, which is just kind of sad.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, the concept of a second marriage is
coming into it with like how we did with the first one.
Okay.
Before it got affected by the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear you. For me, I think that we should start a new marriage because I think in our first marriage currently, we are on the road to betraying each other. And those other ways she mentioned in the TED Talk. So in the TED Talk, she mentioned contempt being the ways couples betray each other, resentment, lying, like all these feelings that are the result of withholding information and not being honest. And so I am ready to. And
you
I think
highlight
that,
those specifically. Those are like the bigger ones. That
well, those are things that have come up throughout our 12 years of being together. Those are ways that when we're really angry with each other or really out of sync, those are things that come up. Those are like
that we're like displaying.
Yes. Contempt, resentment.
I see contempt more than anything. Like,
resentment,
not so much, at least with me, is not a thing that I feel. We've had those conversations. But when we had this talk and you brought up these things, looking at it as who we are now, it's a more serious thing than what it was in the earlier.
I mean, it always
marriage.
Felt serious to me, but it just felt like something that was just going to have to happen in our relationship. That was just our thing.
Yeah,
but
like,
this.
By serious, I mean, like, it felt like it's something that we had to go through. Mm. But it didn't have to be something that, like, stuck around. Like, I don't know. I was starting to think that maybe it was just a thing that, like, happens.
I mean, right. I do think that, that's part of being human. But what I'm saying is I think that there are some things that are difficult for us to change or adjust or adapt to because we are constantly looking at our marriage as who we are right now. Like, it's really difficult to try new things with who we are right now. But potentially in a new marriage, if we really approach moving forward, this is a new marriage. All that old stuff that wasn't working don't actually have to be here. So, like, what would new people do in this situation? Like, I feel like it's almost like role playing. You can,
which
do,
I've always wanted to do with you. Randy's not big on role playing, y'all.
Mike, because
Randy,
I know you
start laughing the moment
I know you.
We start.
We'd have
playing
to get like do like whole ass costumes. Like, I need you to be.
What?
You gotta
be
wear. Like, you need to be in something.
Nah, I want to do the whole. Let me approach you at the bar situation.
We can do that's that. Like, that's what I mean. Like, we would have to do something that is interactive. This at home walk in. I'm supposed to look at you like you this whole new person. It don't work for me. Let's
no,
meet
like
up somewhere.
Once the baby sleep and the door closed, you not go. You can't just jump into another.
I can't.
Woman in your head.
I can't, but I can at the bar whenever we can go back out.
What's your alter ego and like girl name?
Danny.
That's true. Okay.
Danny need to go to a bar. Danny can't be around a baby and be expected to be jump out. But okay. What I'm saying is I'm thinking that in this, if we approach moving forward, seeking resolutions as a second marriage, this is new. We can be open to doing new things and to not betraying each other in these ways that who we are right now, we're likely to do.
And you don't have to adopt the attitude of, oh, I'm about to create a second marriage to do these things. You can just do these things.
Well, this is just one of the reasons why I think we should. I think we should because right now
we're not heading down that path.
We're just too routine. Like, we're always up to change and growth, like you said, but a lot of our things are.
I think we were up for change and growth through the perspective of who we were and not necessarily who we are today or what best serves us tomorrow.
Mm.
It's just, there's a lot of history here, you know? Like, it's hard not to go based off of history.
What you do.
But it's so infuriating because I hear you when we have arguments and I hear myself when I say it. But back then, this. I'm like, nigga, that was. But like, that's the only thing that you can like draw on,
right,
you know, to make a connection to understanding what's going on. But we are not who we were back then. So I don't know. I think that this approach is just different. I like that.
Thank you. So some pros and cons to a new marriage, because when we were talking about it in our production meeting, we were like, okay, this is going to be. We need to talk about this because there are some evident pros and cons and some that we hadn't thought about when we first watched the Rethinking Infidelity TED Talk. So we have one con between us and two pros between us, or two cons between us, Lord Jesus, and two pros between us.
I love you. It's not even your fault that you don't know numbers.
Mikey, what is your first con to this concept of starting a new marriage, your second marriage?
All right, so I'm going to lay this out for y'all so I don't have to make this analogy later. I think of it as either it's like working on a fixer-upper versus a turnkey, right? So the con of anything new or rebuilding something is that there's more work that needs to be done. It don't look like it on the surface, but there's some rotting in the foundation, which means we got to like change out some cement under the steps that we thought was perfectly fine when all we wanted to do was like switch out a front door. You know, make sense?
No.
All right.
What are you saying?
Like with a house renovation.
Okay.
Where they go and they say, okay, we want to fix this one problem. And then the person comes and they find all these other issues.
Something, yes. Like y'all have ants.
Yes.
And rats.
Termites. And oh.
Like your
this
pipe.
This house was built pre 1991, which means.
On top of a pipe. So we actually can never renovate your bathroom.
So we can't take out that load bearing pillar so that you can have an open concept because
your house will fall. So you're saying worried
saying
that.
One of the cons to it, because regardless of all of that shit, they don't care. They end up still doing the work because it needs to be done, right?
Some of it, yeah. Or so, they move.
It's
or they move.
The con to a restructuring is just there's more work. And I fear a loss of the progress that we've made. We've put in a lot of hours to get
labor
to a lot of stuff that we finally got to and deconstructed and broken down and so many conversations.
Yeah.
That I either wanted to or didn't want to have that led to more conversations that, you know, like we've been through so many growing pains already. The hesitant side of me is like, I don't want to pain no more.
Right.
Like, we have a perfectly functioning house. You can't see the rot in the foundation.
Is it perfectly functioning, though?
I believe it's perfectly functioning.
So why do we call these people to, why do we call these people, why do we call the house hunters? if it's perfectly
because
functioning.
Because we wanted to update. We wanted upgrades. Because the house
because
can function,
it's not
but
functioning.
Like, it'll work for today, for, you know, for this day
it don't
age.
Work for the new us.
Yeah, like, it's still got jail bars on the window. And people don't do that no more. But jail bars keep people out.
I like jail bars. I mean, they not.
Don't even start on the house you grew up in.
We had jail bars.
You say you like jail bars?
Ain't nobody ever break into our house. That's all I'm saying.
Because why would you want to?
I mean, right.
Not jail bars on the window.
I mean, not on our windows, but I think that they actually are effective.
For anybody who may not know what jail bars are.
Those are those big.
There are actual
bars on windows
that are over the side windows of houses, front windows to keep out intruders. They are bolted to the frame of your house.
Yeah, ain't no taking them things off.
Nah.
Ain't no entry if you don't want to be hurt.
They are not always the prettiest looking.
At all.
But they function. They keep your kids inside.
And people out.
Ain't no little boys going to break in and try to talk to your daughter when, you know, he's
talk
really,
to the window.
So that's why the girl had to sneak out. You know, that's what it is.
So you're worried about
the labor.
Yeah, the new labor.
Because we have so many things happening.
Yeah, I get it.
But that's the thing, though. It's just like in that same analogy, the work has to get done. So it doesn't matter. Like, I got to do it.
Either going
to
do it or move.
So, and I don't want a new house with new problems. I want to fix the problems.
Real new, you know? Problems.
Yeah.
Well, my con is newlywed woes all over again. So similar to yours. Being a newlywed, and in a lot of cases, people still consider us newlyweds, but that first year of being a newlywed, of going from being just boyfriend and girlfriend to spouses, really is a big change. People think, oh, it won't change. We've lived together already. We've talked about this a million times. It does change. I don't know if it's psychological.
At that time, Randy, we went through a couple of different shifts. You stayed with me for a little while in my college dorm, but you hadn't lived with me.
Mm-hmm.
You stayed with me for a little while at my mom's, and I stayed with you a little while, but we didn't live together. You knew me, but you ain't know my tendencies. You didn't know how serious.
But even when we moved in together, we had lived together for a year before we got married, and it still changed.
At that point, we were still doing stuff that's like, oh, no, that don't bother me so much. It do.
But
it
now did. That I got to stay with you for the rest of my life.
You got to cut that shit out.
I can't do this. I actually can't live like this. It's not cute. So that's what I'm. Yeah. That's one of my cons is like with a second marriage or anything new, like you said, there is this fear that we will go through that same process again. Because that first year was hard.
Let me tell you right now, I have a feeling that we 100% will be going through that same thing.
That first year was hard. But we did it. So we know that we can.
Well, we have a more advanced toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
When we first did marriage counseling, premarital counseling with Randy's aunt and uncle,
mm-hmm.
they gave us the analogy of like a toolbox. You can't use a hammer on stuff that requires a screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work the same. Like, we have a much more advanced set of tools, I think, so that when it comes to what it looks like moving forward, it'll be a healthier adjustment,
mm-hmm.
when we have those same conversations. Because before it was like, I don't know, like, I'm asking you to drill this in and you only got
that little screw
sponge.
That IKEA stand where you turn
the Allen wrench.
Yeah.
That don't work here. And you can force it. It's not gonna go all the way in like I need you to. So I don't know. That's a concern for sure, but the hopeful side of me is thinking,
okay, so let's get into your pro. What is your pro for starting a new marriage? Because you're getting real hopeful.
Oh, my pro?
Mm-hmm.
New energy, man.
Okay.
That same rebuilding analogy. So, like, after
God.
You do the shit, you got a nice house.
Yeah.
With a pool and an open concept kitchen with marble countertops.
Lord, I might let it go.
And backsplash.
Please drop it.
And cabinets with, like, see-through glass and a TV
Mike.
On your fridge. What? Does this analogy not help?
You don't have to keep doing it.
But that's where I was.
So you're
so no, new energy and rebuilding. There is something to be said about the feeling you get from like the satisfaction of like a hard day's work, right? Sometimes even on a lazy day, you're unhappy with how you were lazy that day.
Mm-hmm.
Like flashback to Mother's Day 2020.
I was bored.
There was
at a point.
The point was for Randy to like go sit still. Randy came outside and was like, I'm bored. And I laughed my ass off. I kept Drew away from her. Randy wasn't supposed to change the diapers or do nothing like that. But there's something to be said about the feeling you get from working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure there's a word for this.
Work ethic? I don't know.
No. Like, there's probably like a word for what this term is called when you like just the satisfactory feeling you get from doing work and how that makes your space different. I like working with you. Introducing this podcast into our relationship definitely shifted our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
When we started working together as teens, it shifted our relationship. Whenever we do something together, we had a baby, shifted our relationship. We mm-hmm. got a place together, shifted our relationship. We joined accounts, shifted. So when we work together, there's always a positive outcome to it.
Okay.
And the rebuilding and having like a new energy around is the pro that I'm looking forward to.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my pro is radical. This is radical and preventative, which is not what we usually do.
It is.
We're usually radical, but we aren't necessarily preventative. We react really well.
Proactive.
No.
We're proactive. Mm. I wouldn't say we're 100% preventative, but I do think we're proactive.
Okay.
We think ahead. We may not act. We think
ahead. We don't execute. Yeah. But yeah. I feel like this is a radical way that we are choosing to execute moving forward.
You think it's excessive?
This is our marriage.
Are we doing too much?
This is our marriage. No. Ain't no such thing as doing too much for your marriage, in my opinion.
Okay. That's fair.
And somebody feels the same way, don't get married again to your spouse. Or to anyone else. But
the same trail you going if you happy.
I mean, if it's fine, but I think it's radical and preventative, and we're not just waiting for like the landmark years, the 7-year itch or the 10-year itch.
You put a lot of fear into me with that conversation.
Well, only because I hear that we don't know many married couples, but the married couples that we met along the way and that we've come into contact with and who are divorced or still together. They talk about these issues, and I'm not saying this is even a way to avoid it. Like, maybe there's no way to avoid certain things, but I think that and choosing not to just accept, oh, we just been married for 4 years in our 5th year now, that we can just put this off, put these little inkling, subtle feelings that we have about how we treat each other and what we need to change. We can just put it off because we're still so new. I think that that's dangerous, and it's radical for us to like deal with it now so that we don't have these same cliche problems people are having at the 7, 10, 20 year mark, you know? So, and that makes me happy. I think that's a pro, like we are possibly getting ahead of potential problems. Not only that, but addressing things in our relationship that are necessary for us to change.
I started thinking, I like that actually. That's a good point. But just the reason behind this whole second marriage thing is the concept goes into people change like throughout their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the same people we were when we first said, I will. We have changed. We are not the same people who met in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the same people who dated in high school. We are not the same people who struggled through college.
Mm-hmm.
We are different people today, even who we were a couple months ago because of like how things go. I think that the revamping is a good, I just think it's a good idea just in general.
Yeah.
That old saying, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow?
I put off tomorrow what you can do today.
Is it because I'm West Indian? We learned that one backwards. No. The asshole in me heard it and flipped it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you mean why do today what we can put off till tomorrow?
No, Mike.
So, no, like that attitude or, you know, that mindset was always a dangerous thing when it came to anything. Like, why apply it to your marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Why not do something today instead of putting it off till tomorrow? Because if you keep putting it off till tomorrow, then it's always, you know, there.
Yes. One of the things she talked about in the TED Talk was people who have affairs usually have affairs because of this feeling of, I mean, it's a range of feelings she went through, but wanting to have passion and autonomy and
longing. One of them.
They want something new. These are people who have been good all their life and they want to be wild or they've come in close contact with death or, you know, someone in their family has died or they've lost something and it's made them think like, is this it? You know? And so they want to go out and do things. They want to go out and have affairs.
Right.
Hood rat shit with their friends. They want to go out and they want to have affairs. And she was saying if people put even a tenth of that energy into their marriage, then they wouldn't even be needing to have her counsel about how to reconcile from an affair. And that just really just got me thinking about like, let's not wait. Let's just do it now. Let's just do it now. And really,
because you got grievances.
Right. Well,
I got grievances.
It's not even just that I have. It is that I have grievances.
That's
but
one
it's
of,
also
one of the reasons.
I told you the other day or when we watched this, when we first reconciled way back when about that ex, and like we, and that was episode 2, if anyone hasn't heard, but we realized that that had to change and we needed to, like, for us to stay together in a way that was healthy, because in that way that felt like a second relationship moving forward. That was not the same relationship it was when we first started dating. No, it was completely different. But I told you before that big blowout happened and you're driving all the way to Worcester and all this drama. Before that happened, I had had like this subtle thing in the back of my head for years. And I just kind of pushed it off because it wasn't a big deal. In quotes.
It wasn't
like
it wasn't the normal toxic that you
right.
See
everybody else, with. You ain't beating me. You're not mean. You're not abusive. You know. Maybe a little emotionally, but it wasn't like
nah.
You were emotionally negligent, but which is a form of abuse, you know, because neglect was also a form of betrayal.
Was it?
Yes, you knew that things were wrong, but you were like, well, if you ain't gonna say nothing, I ain't gonna say nothing.
But that's what I'm saying. I didn't know that things were wrong. And to me, it didn't feel wrong. And if you're not communicating anything is wrong with you, because if something is wrong, then the actions change.
We definitely had conversations about some of the things that were, but not everything. To be fair, some of the things that had been bothering me, we was kind of like, oh, we'll just deal with it, you know, or we'll just, they just weren't handled in the way that they were after we really had that talk and we really reconciled, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that it was just you. I was a liar. Like, I was trying to be cool and trying to be this cool girlfriend and trying to be this fun, loving person that I wasn't. And when it concerns what I was accepting in our relationship, and I wasn't honest, and that's a betrayal too. Like, I'm having you out here in the wind, you know, thinking you good when I think you ain't shit. But I ain't saying that to you. So it's not all on you. But what I'm saying is that inkling, that subtle something's not right, I feel that now. And it doesn't mean that we're gonna break up or that I don't love you or like you or want you. It's just that I promised myself after we reconciled that last time that I would say, hey, I don't really know what it is, but I know something ain't right, and let's fix this now so that 5 years from now we not having another blowout thing. And for me, I think right now it's, well, that's going into our I think that's a lot of things, and that's going into your point about how you want to manifest a second marriage. So how do you want to manifest it?
Well, coming off of everything you just said, this is, swear to God, we ain't playing this, y'all. We're really organized with our thought process.
We're trying, y'all.
This was just really linear. Coming off of everything you just said, I think that when it comes to this approach, the most important thing in manifesting in my mind is rebuilding trust and adjusting that communication. Just as you said, in our first relationship, there was a lot of just kind of going with the flow, trying to figure out still who we wanted to be. In our second relationship, we were a little bit more established. Then we got married. And then that needed to be reestablished. We went through a lot of shifts after the first year. But there are still some things that are being harbored based off of the first relationship, second relationship, or the first marriage.
Things like what?
Like,
what do you mean by rebuilding trust and
so
adjustment?
I want you to be able to take me at face value,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I've earned that, and I feel like my actions throughout our entire relationship, and more specifically who I am today, is what we should be talking about, is what the focus is. I feel like I have earned the right to certain stuff. I feel like I've earned the right to like trust immediately when like something is said, or when something needs to be done. Like just knowing that Mikey is should now dictate how I move, not whatever fear I may hold or whatever was done a long time ago, not like last week or whatever, but like I want trust to be the first thing that you go to before all the other things.
So what needs to happen outside of me doing that? Like, is there anything?
Well, tied into that, when we talked about it, was like creating a space for that to happen. So that means talking about what that looks like. What is it going to take to get to that point? And really just what action needs to be taken to create that space, because that is my goal ultimately. That's what I want. I think that is definitely something that would make me happier. Cause nobody wants to be like second guessed or questioned. And
what does that look like to you? I'm asking for example, like, what does me trusting you immediately or at face value looks like to you to make you feel like it's rebuilt or that it's there?
I don't know. I think that's something that we gotta like talk about. I'm not really sure specifically, but it's like, I don't know. I think part of it is So when we first started dating, if I said something, you believe me, right? And that could have been because of, I don't know, who you were trying to be at the time, or just because that's just how you felt about whatever.
I thought you were trustworthy.
Yes. And do you not feel that way now?
I don't not feel like you're not trustworthy.
But the reality is, after years of whatever, if I say something, that's just not the case anymore. That's not the space that we're coming from. It's like anything. Like, if I would have, I don't know, like, not hypothetically. All right. So when I was younger, I'm saying I'm going to a place, you'd be like, okay, cool. And that's just like the end of the conversation. I go to the place, I do my stuff, and I'm home. I tell you I'm home. And, you know, like, that's just the end of it. Now it's like, if, like, I'm going here, and it's a whole bunch of other stuff, or like, and like, other concerns start to come in a way. Like, you don't already know that I'm going to drive safe, or I'm going to, like, be careful.
Okay,
you know, stuff like
so
that.
That's always really interesting to me. And that always sucks when you say that, because you also said that in our first marriage counseling session. Like, I'm not telling you to be safe. I'm not telling you to be safe because I don't trust that.
I know that, but we've had that conversation. You're pushing me to, like, I can't think of a specific.
Babe, it's
thing
fine.
Right
the
now
example that you came up with is fine. For me, I just I'm just trying to explain. It's not a trust issue with me. It's what I'm saying. It's a, for me, it's an adherent thing. Hey,
no, that's
but
why
also,
I was trying to
like
relate it back to what trust was defined as to you in the past, and how that's not what it looks like today.
And the only reason I asked for more information was because you put this down as how we are manifesting a second marriage, and I wanted to understand if rebuilding trust and adjustment and communication, what does that look like to you, and what would that look like newly as opposed to in the past. In the past,
newly it would look like the way that it looked like when it was positive in the past is what I would want, because I don't feel it presently. Like,
okay,
how
and
I,
then I asked you what experience or what is something happened where you don't feel it positively that I trust you.
And so I couldn't think of an instance offhand, which is why I brought up the whole, like, just taking the word immediately versus questioning.
Okay. So that is how you want to manifest it, rebuilding trust and adjustment and communication.
Yeah.
What do you think that will take? Just what, trial and error?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of trial and error, a little bit of just faith, a lot of blind faith. It's obviously going to take work. It's going to take conversations. Situations got to happen. And this is going to have to be moments where it'd be like, this is where we're practicing this. I don't know. I think it's mostly just kind of seeing what happens, trial and error, practicing, and just being aware that this is the new attitude that we're adopting with approaching this.
Okay. Thank you. For me, manifesting a second marriage looks like marriage counseling, which is what we have started already. We aren't completely prepared to talk about it quite yet because we have only done one session, another one coming up soon. But that, and because, you know, there's mediation, there's an objective audience, objective person who doesn't know us outside of what we tell them, maybe if they listen to the podcast, because she does know that we have one, but like she just has an objective view where she can like just help mediate some things like rebuilding trust and adjustment and communication, like you pointed out, and also just being honest about my own fears, and not just fears but like new triggers that'll come up, because for instance while in quarantine, new triggers have arisen, or like I'm realizing that, you know, Drew's a toddler now, and we have to figure out ways to communicate with this girl to get her to listen, because toddlers don't listen. And while they love us, we think they don't listen. And the yelling, you know, we all yell. We're all trying to get each other's attention. We're all trying to get her to stop trying to kill herself. But like realizing why I have a reaction when you yell as opposed to if I'm yelling, and taking that back to being a kid with my dad yelling. And not that that was always violent, but it just always freaked me the fuck out. And I ain't like it, but it was effective, and like little things like that. And, you know, why am I more likely to intervene when y'all are beefing, or, you know, when you're trying to parent, as opposed to you don't really intervene when it's just like me solo with her, mainly because she do treat us a little differently, but kids do that with parents. But just being honest about like my fears about also, which I brought up a while ago off mic, you know, me changing and evolving and learning to be self-compassionate and self and have self-confidence. And like, what does that mean for you? Will you still like me if I don't think I'm small? Will you still like me if I am ambitious, you know, or moving in a direction of like power that I want to be in terms of entrepreneurship and whatever goals I have, as opposed to, do you like me if I'm just, I don't know, insecure and not confident and all these things. So just being honest about those things, I think, is how I hope to do my part in manifesting a second marriage.
I like that. I'm looking forward to what comes from marriage counseling. It's not something that we've done before. And again, it is one of those things that we're doing together, which is always transformative for us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think nerves kind of started entering because we've had our first session and we're coming up on our next. And, you know, after the fluff, like, of introductions, then you start getting into, like, doing shit. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nervous about what doing shit looks like, but I think that, I don't know. I think that'll be good for us.
Yeah, me too.
So I definitely think that'll be helpful with going into our second marriage.
I agree.
All right.
All right. Also, engagement. Are you interested in a second marriage? What would that look like to you? And also watch the Rethinking Infidelity TED Talk on mm-hmm. YouTube or the TED Talk website and let us know your thoughts. Shoot us an email at blackmailmare@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098. You can also, as always, hit us up on social media with the details.
We want to hear from you.
We do. So please, let us know.
All right.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, cause it's fight or flight.
So my fight is I'm confronting you about breaking a promise you made. So on Mother's Day, it was great. You did your part. You did your best to do what you could for me, considering that I couldn't get sent off like I got to last year to mm-hmm. get away from said baby and said husband. But you also said that we would spend Mother's Day putting some of the newer movies from your hard drive and my computer on your PlayStation. So Mikey has every PlayStation. He has all types of PlayStations, and in our bedroom is the PlayStation 3. And on the PlayStation 3 are a whole bunch of movies that have been on there since college.
Since I first got it in 2012.
Since college. We were in college at that time.
2011. And
since college. And they're the same 50, yes. 60 movies. A through Z.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Mike, we get so many movies from Mama. My mom. Anyway, we get so many movies.
She illegally pilots.
No, she doesn't.
And does rips of newly released movies that have been released to DVD or Blu-ray or are still in theaters.
No, she don't. And we I'm like, can we put some of these movies on the PlayStation? Because I am tired of when it's time to pick a movie going through the same 60 that have been on there since 2011. It's 2020. He tells me the night before Mother's Day, hey, today we're going to do this.
Uh-huh.
It's going to take a minute, but we're going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Cool. It is not May 17th.
Okay.
He has not done this or made any attempt to, to my knowledge. And the same 50, 60 movies are still on his PlayStation 3.
They are.
That have been there since 2011.
Okay.
And let's just count. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 9 years.
Mm-hmm. But Armageddon is timeless.
Mikey. Y'all, I can name all these movies.
You probably could.
Armageddon. I keep them Apollo 13.
I got Apollo 13 on there.
Yes, you do. I do not. You don't?
I do.
Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
All the Sherlocks.
Mm-hmm.
All the X-Men.
Because all the ones
except the most recent, except the last two most recent ones.
Nah, First Class was the last
because
one.
Because after 2012, he stopped adding them.
I did. No, after 2015, I stopped adding.
Yeah, they're the same movie. So that's the thing. He'll add a few movies
It's hard to do.
I don't.
It's a long process.
Okay. But you told me.
I did. So I told you it's going to be a process, but it's going to take some time.
But we're
going to
do it.
Nowhere on Mother's Day was there time to do it.
You could have made time. It's Mother's Day. You controlled that day.
I couldn't have because your child requires
Don't put it on her. Don't put it on her. Bring her in the room.
Got you. Okay.
We could have switched rooms.
Obviously, if Drew was not a factor, this would have gotten done.
If this wasn't a factor, you probably wouldn't even have promised, and I would never still get these new movies on this PlayStation.
Okay.
Okay, so are you fighting or flighting?
I don't know what to say to that.
What?
I apologize for not switching out the movies.
So you're fleeing?
Yes.
So are you going to switch them out?
Yes.
No, you're not.
I will. Before the next time we record an episode, I'll switch out the movies.
An indie or a fool?
The fool.
Okay.
Okay.
Y'all heard it here. Y'all heard it here. And I will be following up with y'all. Because, you know, y'all, with these fight or flight, sometimes shit don't change. Mikey still pop his toes.
Randy's still unclean.
He still... That's not True.
I had to stop talking about cleaning the kitchen because
I cleaned the kitchen so well last week, y'all. Week before last,
she did. Killed that shit.
That he thought I bought a new trash can.
It did look like she bought a new trash can.
Yeah, Mikey clean. We'll say that. He's the most likely to clean. Yeah, Mikey clean.
Okay.
But when it concerns cleaning.
What you mean?
I cleaned the trash can. You skip the trash can each time, but it's filthy.
Uh-huh.
That's what I mean.
Got you.
You thought it was new. Did you buy a new trash can?
Randy bought a new trash can lid and tried to make it seem like she did a deep cleaning on the trash can. I don't know. It's a Walmart trash can.
So when I clean,
you just went to Walmart and got a new trash can.
It'd be superior type cleanliness.
Uh-huh. Every once in a while.
But I do clean.
It do be superior.
But what you haven't done is stop popping your toes.
I can't.
And stop snoring. Yes, you can.
I can't stop doing either of those things until stuff get done. I got to lose weight to stop snoring.
Well,
and I can't stop popping my toes because of blood flow.
Mikey,
what you want me to do?
Stop it.
Randy, when I stand up, my toes pop.
Mikey,
I don't know
what disgusting.
You want from me.
You stretch them like hands. Stop.
Because that's what you do when your hands are tight and tense. You stretch them and sometimes your knuckles crack.
So,
it's just the things that you nitpick or
Mikey,
that you don't like
nitpick.
About me.
It's just, it's like, Mike, you don't know what it's like living with someone forever.
I have lived with myself forever.
That's different. You've learned to love yourself unconditionally.
I have.
From birth to now.
Mm-hmm.
I am learning.
You still have conditions.
The toe bopping
is a conditional love.
It just makes thing. Me, it makes me just. But that was a fight brought up episodes ago, last mm-hmm. season, and it hasn't changed. So what my point
well,
is,
I don't pop
there
them
are
in
some
your
fights,
ear or on
there
you.
Are some fights that we have that we put out here. I think it's great. You mm-hmm. think you would think there would be reconciliation and real change. Some of these fights, they just don't. But because we've already said it as a fight,
uh-huh.
we don't bring it back up. So you're saying that with this fight, you're actually going to change something.
Yes.
Okay. PDA. It's your first.
What do I have for you today?
You said you would use this old PDA. Well, the people don't know it's old.
No.
But.
Randy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, for the first time in a long time, had alone time.
Mm-hmm.
Just you and I, and I want to say this in a respectful way.
What?
I'm trying to. Can I form my? I said what I said. I want to say this in a respectful way.
Okay.
You're good at sex. You do quality work. You show your work. Really neat handwriting. You stay inside the margins.
Oh my you, God! You
do quality work.
Thank you.
Quality work.
Thank you.
I tip my hat to you. I don't wear hats anymore, but if I did, I'd tip them. I love you. And when the baby is not around, it goes down and the best way. And I love you.
I love you.
I do. I really appreciate you. I had fun today.
Thank you. Well, my PDA,
what's
I told myself I would start keeping track of things, but I always forget. But my PDA is.
We both got to do better.
We do. Oh, so today. I've been asking Mikey to do yoga with me because men do yoga. These athletes out here, they ain't out here just doing body weight stuff. They got to do a whole range of stuff, stretch their bodies and to just hit different parts. You can't just be doing the same shit if you won't change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been asking Mikey to do yoga with me because he has these back pains and these aches. And I'm like, dude, just do some yoga with me. So this morning you brought it up all on your own and said that you would do some yoga with me. And you did 20 minutes of yoga with me. You did the beginning one, then you did an energizing one. And it was really nice.
I mean, it sucked, but.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed myself.
You enjoyed the act.
But it was really nice that you brought it up yourself and that you did two videos with me. It wasn't my intention to do 20 minutes of yoga, but you also, like, said that you would do another one. And I appreciate it. It was nice, and I like doing new things with you. We have never done yoga together. We've worked out together.
Mm-hmm.
We're that couple. But we have never done like something like that together. And so that was nice. And I really,
no
really
kid, man.
You.
it's hard not to. We have time. When you have time, you can do the things you couldn't do. But no, I definitely enjoyed doing it with you. I did not enjoy the feelings and the struggle.
That just means, like I told you, you got to start in a different way. Like, you start with the yoga stretches as opposed to, like, the yoga. You got to graduate to the yoga.
When we going to start doing hot yoga? I hear that's a thing.
When this pandemic is no longer a pandemic.
Okay.
Because the last thing I want to do is be in a room full of a whole bunch of people. With COVID-19 swirling around. How are we going to make it hot?
Just put some heaters around us or something. I don't know.
Dude.
Get a tent.
I don't know if that's how it works.
No.
A tent?
Yeah, we get a tent.
In the house and put a heater in the tent? In the tent.
Yeah.
Fight or flight.
Is that a bad idea? What's wrong with that idea?
You're not gonna put a heater in the tent.
It's not. We're not building a campfire in the tent in the house. It's a heater. They don't just light on fire if they, you know, you gotta have something in front of it. No,
I don't think that's a good idea, babe. But thank you.
You're welcome. I have thoughts. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is on Domino Sounds Network. Yes, sir. New episodes will be every Monday and Thursday. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae Jingles. Details are in our show notes. For ad-free, extra and exclusive content, no matter what you pledge, head over to patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage.
We are now and still available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Rate us.
5 stars.
If you enjoyed this episode, we are currently at 300-something ratings on iTunes, Apple. We would love to get to 500.
We want to get to 5.
Don't know why. It's just a good number. It's a nice, clean number.
And enough of y'all Negroes listen.
So if you and we know a lot of, at least 10,000 of y'all listen on Apple. So if y'all could just go ahead over
and do that.
And do that. We would really appreciate you.
Thank you very much in advance. Be sure to check out our website.
www.blackmillennialmarriage.com.
Yes, it's still beautiful. You can catch episodes there.
I got an update, y'all. Come on, check it out. Tell me what you think, because I work really hard on it. We work really hard on it.
Mikey picked the colors.
Follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
On Twitter, we are
@_the Chapmans.
Thank you again for listening, y'all.
As always, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
Root Insurance puts you in control. Root is a new type of car insurance that uses the sensors in your smartphone to look deeper than other insurers. Here's how it works. Download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior, like turning and braking, and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate, meaning good drivers could save hundreds. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.